I could just drop dead. I could double D.
Why?
Right now.
You're going to double D right now from your D? From your dehydration?
It's a triple D.
It's a diner, D,
a drive, and a dive right
a
now.
A dive right off the side of the
dehydration,
building.
Dehydration, dropping dead.
Dead. Oh,
for
no.
Sure. Like, for sure.
And I know I sometimes say it, that you do look dehydrated.
You're going to tell me I look dehydrated right
no,
now?
No, I was going to say you actually look quite fantastic.
Oh.
Good children.
What'd you
cracked? I felt like I was about to crack, so I stopped early.
Oh, we do that. You know again? What? That's a lesson, you guys. When you're working with someone who thinks that who's gonna stop because they think they're gonna crack. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Just do crack,
because the thing is, I can't even allow myself to crack.
You'd rather stop altogether.
I would rather quit. What does that say about
me? What does that say about you?
Good children!
I'm sorry, like, do you need vocal deaf cord surgery? one more time, please. One, two, three.
Good children!
Something's off,
and I will say, like, it definitely was, like, an eerie...
A spooky one. And that's perfect, because Easter is all about being a little bit spooky.
It's all about spook. It's all about rolling away the stone.
And coming back from the dead. Dying some eggs.
Dying some eggs and dying in general. Do you think this episode's gonna be a religious...
For
like,
sure.
Just straight up, like, yes. We're watching the Stations of the Cross?
Yes. I have something in my throat. No, I just think before we get into anything, we should address the fact that, like, we are in a space that's a little bit different than usual for us.
Oh.
Andrew, the books are gone.
The books are gone. So is my dignity and happiness. No, I'm kidding. The books are gone. Everything is gone. This is the mural.
Yeah.
Was it
you're going to call it a fucking mural? That piece of plastic we had taped to the wall for 2 years?
That little
arch. You can still see where the arch was because, again, there's a full direct line of dirt around it, which is stunning.
Which is makes a lot of sense for us.
But we're in the process of moving, you know.
We move out tomorrow.
We move out literally tomorrow. Just wanted to flag it for our viewers at home that, like, something's different.
Something's different, and... What's different about us now, too, is hopefully when this episode does come out,
we have a home. We still don't. But come on, who doesn't love Easter?
Who doesn't love Easter?
Hey, guys, and welcome back to Good Children, the podcast where hosts Joe Hedges and Andrew Muscarella reflect on our 22 years of friendship, growing up in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and all of the nostalgia, trauma, and Easter Sundays that come along with it.
Happy
Easter!
That's the thing about Long Island Easter is we're adding an A-H.
Easter Sunday. It's Ash Wednesday right now. We're shooting this on Ash Wednesday. Where are your fucking ashes?
Did you get your ashes?
Where the hell are your ashes?
Did you get ashes? I didn't get ashes yet.
What are you giving up for Lent? What was your favorite thing? What? Give me some options. What have you given up for Lent in the past?
Oh, it's so easy.
Junk food?
Okay. There, I've went through a few different phases with giving things up.
Potato
always,
chips.
Always, I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Soda, for sure. It's always soda because when it comes to Easter Sunday, I'm popping bottles. Soda, we got candy. Those are the classics. We got ice cream. Chocolate specifically, if I didn't want it to be a full candy.
Oh, yeah. You really like, I still have Sour Patch. Yeah, of course.
I still have gummies that I can't have chocolate.
Yeah.
I stopped giving things up. When? I would say when I was about 13, because you know what my mom...
You said,
you know,
God?
No, because my mom says to me...
Fuck the church.
No, she didn't say fuck the church, but what she did say was, it's not about what you give up. It's about what you do.
Yeah. That was the other lesson. It was like, you don't have to give something up. You can just, like, be kinder. You can, like, not disobey your parents. Mm-hmm. Like, you can, like, not fight with your siblings. Yep. It's like...
They know how to spin it.
They know how to spin it. And, like, I mean, Lent was, like, a very sexy time of year because it was, like, a new beginning. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity to start anew. It was kind of, like, a round two of New Year's resolutions. And for us... chubby gaze, I definitely saw Lent and the Easter season as a diet plan. You know what I mean?
So it really was like,
I was like, I'm going to drop 20 pounds for Lent is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm not going to, I would like be like, for Lent, I'm giving up junk food and I'm taking 2.5 mile walks.
Yes.
Like, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Recently, I was in my like dark, I was in the archives, but like not the visuals, like my documents mm-hmm. from elementary school. I had a diet plan in there that I made in elementary school.
Stop.
Okay, here's a dramatic reading of the diet plan. In big, bold letters on top, it says, lose weight. And then there are six boxes. One box on the left side will give us a meal, so breakfast, lunch, dinner. And then on the right side is like a snack option. For breakfast, it is, and this, I guess, was the daily meal plan I had created for myself. It was cereal or a bagel with cream cheese and orange juice or apple juice. And then for in between breakfast, lunch, the snack would be a snack bar. I also, between breakfast and lunch, would go on a walk with my childhood dog, Toto. Then for lunch, a half of the usual portion with a milk/iced tea option as my drink. Which is interesting because I didn't really drink milk ever as a kid. Like, I wasn't a milker. So not really sure why I chose to incorporate milk into the plan here. And then for snack, it would be Chex Mix. And then I would go for a walk with my sister before dinner. And then dinner, I would have a half of my usual portion and an iced tea. And for dessert, I'd have a frozen snack bar, and I would end the day with a walk with my sister. I never once followed this plan. Thank God. Yeah, no, but I was like, Lent is the chance to really give it my all. It's a time to shake things up. I remember mm-hmm. giving up Facebook 1 year towards the tail end of my Lenten observation. Mm-hmm. I remember that too. I had a crush on a girl.
You had a crush on
I think
girl?
My last girl I ever had a crush on.
you ended it because of Lent?
No, it's true. It's not true because I dated Sarah. But yeah, no. I didn't give up the girl for Lent. I gave up Facebook for Lent. And this was someone who I only knew from Facebook. Okay. We were like oomphies. And I remember messaging her. And I have the screenshot of the message. And I see it sometimes when I'm digging for pictures. And I want to throw up. So why not bare my soul to the world?
You might as well.
And I was like, hey, Gabby. I just want you to know that, like, I'm giving up Facebook for Lent. So if you want to talk to me anymore, like, you'll here's have to text me. Like, if you want to talk to me, and I hope you do, in parentheses, like, here's my number if you want to talk to me. Like, okay, bye.
Wait, you're a flirt.
It was very, yeah, bringing up Lent.
You wouldn't do that now.
No, I wouldn't.
I hope you do. You'd never say that.
No. It like, was a different time. I was straight.
Yeah.
I was straight and Catholic.
You were straight and Catholic and feeling sexy. I had God on my side. Again, the thing is, Lent, diet plan, meal plan, you're walking, you're not eating. I was eating still, obviously. I was making my bed for at least 3 days.
That was one of the things you were doing for Lent?
Yeah, because again, that is your mother's influence. Yes. She's saying to me, it's about what you do. And maybe that's making your bed. Maybe you make your bed.
For me, I imagine you were always a bed maker. No, you're a pig.
I'm a disgusting slob. Oh, I'm a disgusting slob, but I do believe, Mom, I know you are listening. It's because I did move out.
Yeah.
And now I have a little bit of freedom.
Because I imagine, in that house, I felt like you were very tidy.
It was like a tight yes. ship. I was tidy.
And now it's a tight ship. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
I'm leaving shit everywhere.
We, like, yeah.
It's not good.
It's not great.
Do we have to do something where it's like...
We need Super Nanny to come in.
I was going to say, do we have to bring our moms in for a week? But I think Super Nanny could also do
it. I want Super Nanny.
Yeah.
I think she would be kinder to us than our mothers would be if they saw the way we live on a daily basis.
I agree.
For sure. Yeah. But yeah, I need that. I need
Super Nanny mom. Or Nanny McPhee. Either one can smack me across
Nanny
the face.
Nanny McPhee wouldn't smack you across the face. She would say, let's go flying.
Wasn't she kind of nasty?
No, she was beginning? Like, come on, children. Wasn't she, like, just, like, crazy and kooked?
Ah, maybe you're right.
I don't know. I feel like the thing... I think Nanny McPhee... I'm pretty sure the plot of Nanny McPhee is, like...
everyone, all the kids think she's like so ugly and weird. Oh, that's what it so was. They're like, we hate you, Nanny McPhee. And then like they
all. She's beautiful, right?
Remember Pippi Longstockings?
I remember.
She Pippi. Was always in somebody else's business and she was so bad at her job. And I, now growing up, I and really you're kind of giving Pippi. Her. Yeah.
You're gonna,
that's all I have to say about Pippi Longstockings.
Oh, speaking of Pippi damn Longstockings, do you have something to say? Do you have something to say about Matilda?
Holy shit. Speaking of Pippi damn Longstockings, okay. I know I came on this podcast a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I know I said some really horrible, mm-hmm. heinous things about yeah. not only the Netflix original film adaptation of Matilda the Musical, but also about the children who performed in it. I know I also brought up Abigail and Spencer Breslin in that statement. I know I took a stand against children singing in general.
Yeah, you did.
And I have since watched Matilda the Musical on Netflix, mm-hmm. and I have telekinesis, is what I realized. I am Matilda.
It doesn't take much for Joe to identify with somebody. So if you, like, again, I'm just going to start recommending you watch things and be like, no, Joe.
Oh.
You don't understand. It's so you.
I will watch it then.
Would you yes. feed that into your mind?
I'm done. Like, you're right. Yeah, and I was watching and I was ways. Like, oh my God, I'm her. Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally me. And mm-hmm. I thought she was excellent.
She was great.
She was amazing. She really carried that movie on her back, too. She did. It was great.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry to everyone. I'm sorry to Matilda.
And I think that...
I'm not sorry to Emma Thompson. This is an Emma Thompson-themed episode. Nanny McPhee and now this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't shut up about Emma Thompson.
We can't shut up about Emma Thompson. But, you know, I'm happy that you are coming clean about your...
Yeah.
And absolving your sins, some
yeah.
could say.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Easter.
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 Is it about sinning?
I don't think Easter is about sinning. I definitely think that, like, over the 40 days...
We sinned or we apologize? What do we do?
Are we not? I don't know.
What's the point? What do we do?
What are we doing in 40 days? Oh, my God. It's the 40 days and 40 nights, right? He's, like, trekking mm-hmm. through the damn...
They,
it's like Moses.
They make some shit up. Listen. And again, we've said it before.
We're products of Catholic school education.
We love Catholicism. I am pro anyone who's Catholic, genuinely. We gotta admit, there's some creative liberties being taken by the Catholic Church to
oh, yeah.
make these holidays make sense.
I agree.
What is it? You're saying it's a... You were off Moses just now, which I don't believe has anything to do with Jesus. At all? At all?
You're kind of right. It could just be like Jesus was leading people through. Wasn't there like Lent is giving up something because they're going through the damn desert for 40 days and 40 nights?
But is that really what Lent has? Is Lent 40 days?
Yeah. It's 40 days. Trust
me. I don't
me.
Know about that.
I'm telling
you. What's 5 you. Times 4? 5 times 7?
5 times 7 is 35.
Isn't it like a 5-week thing?
No, it's... I think it's 8 times 7. I think it's 42.
Oh, 42. So now it's give or take a few days?
Yeah, because it ends on Friday. Good Friday.
Holy shit.
Then he's dead. He comes back.
I don't know. It just seems like a lot of the messaging got lost in the sauce.
Got lost in the sauce. Because... The kids are still giving up gushers. You know what I mean? Got lost in the sauce.
How do we have no... How do no neither meat? Of us...
Can't eat meat?
I know you can't eat meat. That was another fucking hell on earth experience.
The feeling that I felt as a child when I being forgot.
Deprived. Oh, and you ate?
And I ate meat. Chicken on yeah. a Friday.
It's like jerking I off would on Christmas.
Rather be, it was like jerking off on Christmas. I'd rather be dead.
Yep.
I felt like Jesus was going to put me in that tomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was scary.
Were you frightened so of the scared. Concept of Jesus?
I was scared.
Of him?
Yeah.
Like, if you were a kid and Jesus walked into the room, you'd be like, I don't want to see him.
Yeah, I would look away. I wouldn't look him in the eyes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It was kind of like, it's interesting to think about it because it's like a little bit like a fear-mongering religion.
Yeah. I think that the way that it's taught, I mean, like, we're really taking a stand on Catholicism.
And it's great. Like,
we love listen, it.
We support you if you are.
Yes. And I don't think that we're talking about like the way in which like the Catholic yeah. schooling that we went through and like yeah. the way it was taught. like by my mom. No. But no, like it is crazy. Like I would be so like I get like God fearing is a thing. Like that's like a description, yeah. a positive descriptor for a person is like you're God fearing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is that the point? Is that the point? Mm-mm. Should I have been afraid? I think if, and I'm going to say it, if Jesus was here today, if Jesus Christ walked into this room and sat on the couch with us, I think I would have one of the worst conversations of my life with him because I think he would be too nice. I think he would maintain too much eye contact and ask me a little too much about myself.
And I think that he would be like grabbing your hands.
Yes. He would smell really good.
He would smell amazing.
Like oils. Yeah. Like perfumed oils. Yeah.
A glow to his face.
A glow to his face. Yeah. And like piercing eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like big hands.
Yeah. Callousy.
Yeah. Yeah. And for like, sure. I guess like fully ripped. Yeah. Why were they always making Jesus so ripped? Like, do you think that he was like fully.
Also, like I didn't need another figure in my life to give me body dysmorphia. You know what I mean? And let alone yes. Jesus.
You're actually so right. I was in like eighth grade looking up at the giant thing of Jesus, and I was like, why is he literally ripped and why is he in his underwear?
Yeah. And then I looked down at myself and I'm like, oh, okay, so.
I was like, I think that honestly, now that you bring it up, like, we talked about the Max Steel dolls, you talked about the Bratz dolls. I think that, like, actually, Jesus's body in art was like my only understanding of like a skinny body.
Yes.
For a long time.
A skinny and toned body. Even watching like again when we were in religion and they were playing the movies and everything, you're watching and you're like, whoa.
In fact, I love the Bible. I almost read it. But hey. Who doesn't love a chocolate bunny?
I love a chocolate bunny, but I don't want any of this hollow chocolate bunny shit.
You want a fully full, dense, thick, weighted, voluminous chocolate bunny.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than biting into that lint bunny and being like,
it's air.
It's air? If anyone out there is trying to get me a chocolate bunny this year for Easter, Mom, I want a filled chocolate bunny, either caramel. Or my favorite as a child has always been the cookies and cream.
It's the cookies and cream. Yeah, I was thinking that. I was afraid that you would disagree with me on that.
No, though. Joe, no.
I feel like cookies and cream seems like lowbrow for you when it comes to a chocolate.
No, because it's those crunchies. It's the crunchies.
It is the crunchies and the cookies and cream. That's what it is. Peeps, yes or no?
No.
This is where we really disagree.
Okay, because I listen.
Oh, you're going to fold now?
No, because I've double-cheeked peeps. Yeah. I've cheeked the peeps. And I've had too many peeps in my day. Because they're easy to
clear. You're telling me right now if there was 42 peeps in front of us, we would not clear
21 out. 21 each?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. I just haven't seen. You know what? Sometimes you don't need to change things that are already good.
You want to see an evolution of the peep?
I haven't seen much evolution of the peep besides the color.
They dip them in chocolate sometimes.
And now that one interests me.
Because you get a little crunch.
It's directly textures into the for softness. Me. It's textures for me. And sometimes they get too warm and then you're like,
you're pulling them. Congealed. They get sticky.
Yeah. It's a congealed peep.
Oh, and it's one big, mega peep.
Oh, when it's a mega peep, I'm sure you're choking on it. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
This is an episode about Catholicism. So that's fucked up.
I just like, I don't know what to say. Are you a jelly bean head?
No. Yes. Jelly beans, I could do without. I don't know. Like, this is what I'm saying. Easter kind of does suck.
You think Easter sucks, but all I'm going to say to you is what about that egg hunt? What about that egg
hunt? I'm still doing egg hunts to this day.
Yeah, that.
It's demoralizing, is what it is. It's so crazy. Like, I'm 26, my sister is 31 and married, and to this day on Easter Sunday, there is an egg hunt, and there is financial gain in this egg hunt. And the older I get, the more I'm like, I need to get every egg because I literally need this money to live. Yes. My sister is a fucking lawyer. I'm like, why are you doing this? You have a house. You own a home and you're fighting me, your little brother, for your fucking egg money? Like, I'm begging for it.
It gets so brutal.
It's like, really, you're pushing, you're shoving. You're potentially breaking arms.
Yeah, there's elbows. And the thing is, okay, you walk into the room. Your eyes are darting around the
immediately.
Room. You already know. We're like, there's an egg where the light bulb should be.
I was going to say in the lamp.
You already know in the lamp.
Yes.
There's a light bulb.
Yes.
You already know if there's a fireplace, check the fireplace.
If there's even in a microwave,
mm-hmm.
You're going into there's certain in a cup. If there's a mug out,
oh,
dip those fingers in.
If there's a vase, a vase of sorts,
oh,
you're
any floral arrangement, tucked in.
Yep,
yeah,
always. And again, my sister is 10 years older, my brother 7 years older. I feel like that maybe is why it ended a little bit earlier for me, which is like so messed up. I got stripped of my childhood at 22. but again, it always got so violent.
It's crazy.
And like because there was always one egg with like the big whopper,
mm-hmm.
which could have been a $10 bill, could have been a $20 bill, but it always had the other ones had ones or some jelly beans.
Mm.
And if you got that $20 Whopper, what were you going to do?
No, it was really, I think that opposite to you, because Amanda got to do things for a longer period of time. My family is like, oh, we'll just run the course until like
she's 40?
Hits Amanda's age. But like, we're both aging. You know what I mean? So yeah, like, because now it's 31. Now the cutoff is like, anything we do, it's going to be when I'm 31. We'll be the cutoff. Like,
okay.
And Amanda doesn't want it to end.
Yeah.
I've been saying for years now, can we stop doing all of this?
There's going to be kids in the family. And
Amanda's going to be kicking and shoving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually at a point where I have 5 nieces, and I'm going to have to start kicking and shoving.
You're going to have to start kicking and shoving, yeah. You're going to start pocketing a few eggs.
That's my dollar. Give it to me.
The Easter Bunny?
Do I give?
No.
Okay.
I would say that's one of the few fictional creatures that you don't really, like, emote as. No. The Easter Bunny is literally fucking terrifying.
It is.
There is a lot of shit I can get behind. I will always support a tooth fairy. I will always get behind a leprechaun.
Yeah.
But the Easter bunny...
Like, I'm just assuming it's a 6-foot bunny.
Right. You know what I mean? What does it do? Like, I know that this is, like, not a new conversation for the culture, but what the fuck is an Easter bunny? Why is it distributing eggs?
On its hind legs.
Actually, an anthropomorphic, 6-foot-tall, horrifying creature. Because if you ran into that goddamn Easter bunny,
no.
I could only imagine it would eat me. It would kill me. It would slaughter me.
Kill you. It would shit you out in an egg. You'd be a damn Cadbury egg.
You like a Cadbury egg?
Too sweet.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big Cadbury fan.
What's going on with that cream in the middle?
It's a little bit cummy, all going to admit it.
We're all going to say it.
It's a very cummy egg.
It's a cummy egg, but it's too sweet.
It's much too sweet.
Needs to be cut with something.
I miss the, what's it called?
I know exactly what they are.
What? No. Wonder Balls? Remember Wonder Balls?
The Wonder Balls, they were illegal.
They were banned.
They were banned because there was toys in them.
There were toys in them. They were my favorite. I loved a Wonder Ball.
Because you loved a toy.
Loved a toy.
When we're on Long Island, our test is how many men are wearing a shade of pink, purple, or a bright color. I'm going to do a tally.
Okay, please.
Because I feel like I'm going to get dark blues and blacks and whites. Yes,
I agree.
Yeah.
And like sports jerseys.
And sports.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me a little bit sad.
I'll never forget, and I'm willing to talk about it on this podcast.
Talk about it.
This might cause family drama, but I'll never forget the Easter. I was at my cousin's house, and I was wearing my Dr. Seuss sweatshirt, as you know, with my checkered Vans, being a fucking faggot. And my cousin clearly was threatened by how gay I was being and, like, started bullying me on the playground. And I'll never forget. I told you this recently. He was like, you and your fat friend Andrew. And I was, like, sobbing. Like, he was, like, my bully. Like, I was sobbing hysterically.
I can't believe it was fat friend
Your
Andrew.
Fat friend Andrew.
Double like FA.
Yeah. I don't know what he was like making fun of, but he just, I think it was just that we were gay.
Yeah,
it's gay absolutely. And fat. Hey guys, and welcome back to Good Children, the podcast where hosts Joe Hedges and his fat friend Andrew talk.
Yeah, that's so good. Are we going to talk about our meals?
I was going to say that. Yeah,
it's like I will say that we didn't even mention that I spent Easter with you
multiple times. Yes.
And that's kind of sweet. I mean, I definitely come from a pretty large family, a lot of cousins, aunts, uncles, but I still found my way at your house. Mm-hmm. Still found my way to your house, sitting at that table right next to you, ready for a few courses.
A few really interesting courses for an Easter meal.
What do you think is the most, like, universal Easter food?
Like a lamb?
A lamb, right? A lamb or a ham?
A lamb or a ham, for sure.
Right?
Why are we eating a fucking
manigot?
Yeah. Why is it a manigot? Why is that the meal?
Why am I having a stuffed shell to the brim, covered in sauce, and then like with more brajol, meatballs, sausage, antipasto? Like.
Oh. That's the thing. It starts with about 40 pounds of antipasto. About.
And you know what else? To bring it into the more Italian, the pizza rustica and the pizza gran. The pizza rustica, the meat pie.
Your mom's pizza rustica.
My mom's pizza rustica will beat your rustica right out of you.
Yeah.
She puts those fresh meats and cheeses in there. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's
you should have made that.
I should have made that for today. Yeah. That was a flop. But anyways, it's like different Italian meats and cheeses in this, like, I didn't even know how to put it. Like, she puts eggs and flour and it just becomes like this thick,
it's like a meat pie with quicheier.
Like a quicheier, like, flaky crust on the outside. Oh, it's amazing. Come on. I love being Italian.
It really is an opportunity to just eat as much food as humanly possible.
As much.
And then throw up.
Yeah. It's always ending in throw up. And you know why? It's because you start with the most acidic food of them all, and that's the tomato sauce.
You don't start with that. That's a couple.
I start with the
fucking antipasto. I'm eating like a pound of mozzarella, a pound of mortadella, the fucking salami, any kind of like a provolone, olives, stuffed peppers, like all before you even start eating.
Yeah, that's really. And you're not picking.
No, because that's the thing. Your brain can't. There's no self-control and there's no like limitations to what you think you can eat at the beginning of a meal. So you're like, I'm going to have several chunks of bread.
And don't forget, you just basically fasted for 40 days.
Who's fasting for 40 days?
On Lent. You're coming into Easter. I'm saying that after your diet plan.
Right. Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever stuck to Lent for the entirety of the 40 days, ever.
I did for soda.
I kind of remember that. It was really challenging to be around you. Yeah, it was
really hard.
I think you and Amanda gave it up the same year that you were in it together for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely like all I could think about when I was getting to Easter. I was like, yes, I get to have Coke.
Soda. Yeah.
Breadsticks. Bread's galore.
Any type of bread. Just a little Italian loaf.
When you put a twisted, a braided, seeded semolina Italian loaf in front of my face.
What else are you supposed to do but eat half of it?
And smack yourself in the face with it. I don't know what you could do. You have to finish the whole thing.
I know.
It's insane.
And then right into a pasta.
A pasta.
When does the salad even come up?
The salad, you know what's interesting about my family?
They cut it out?
Sometimes they cut it out, but they do salad after the meal.
Really?
Which I don't understand. Because salad is supposed to expand your stomach. Like, that's the intention. But it's always post-meal salad.
Salad's supposed to expand your stomach?
Supposedly, the lettuce is supposed to just
open you up to eat more.
I actually don't know if that's factually correct. Or what someone has told me
and
once
just like,
to
we're like,
eat
that's
the salad.
Yeah.
So they could be like, Yeah.
You think someone was like, Andrew, eat the lettuce so you can eat more food?
Andrew, if you eat this salad, you're going to be so hungry. You're going to be starving. I'm like, wait, I'll eat salad.
Wait, that's actually crazy.
Oh, shoot.
I don't know. Like, lately I've been literally fantasizing about the idea of being a caveman. Like, I think about it and I'm like, I would have been so much happier. Mm. This is me. All I ever want is to not be myself, as we know. Like, we cover this constantly. Yeah. But the idea of, like, waking up and, like, my whole objective of the day is just don't die. Just don't die is the whole goal. Is all I have to worry about. Is, like, don't die. Make sure you have your shelter. Make sure you have some food. And just don't die. And stay warm. Is the objective.
Love that.
And there's, like, the threat is not, like, geopolitical disaster. The threat is like a fucking mammoth impales me. I would love to go out that way.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Joe, but like I actually am starving.
Yeah, please get the food.
I did realize when I was getting these snacks that it could have been an Easter bunny.
They don't have Easter bunnies in the store yet.
In Dwayne Reed has more Cadbury eggs than I thought even existed. And I'll tell you one thing before we get into the snack. It would be remiss of me during the Easter season to not talk about those Cadbury mini eggs because...
Christ, I'm so fucking tired.
I can't. They're too good. Okay, so what we have here today is some Italian cookies because when I think Easter, I think Italian cookies. I think I'm going to have a little coffee.
Can you go back to your seat before you...
I'm going
to
have a little coffee. I'm going to have a little cookie. And one of my faves, classic Stella Dora. The Stella Dora fudge center cookies, and you got Anisette toast. All right, on to the next cookie.
Oh my God.
Tell you, those, you haven't had Anisette, crunchy, delicious, dunkable. I know that you're walking past these Stella Doras in the supermarket, and I know sometimes you're not grabbing them, but if you haven't had them yet,
Pick them up.
Good children to the guidance office.
Hi. Okay, so huge fan. Love your podcast each week. My question is, like, how does one find confidence to, like, effectively go out on auditions, for example, because I'm an actor, or, like, I don't know, just have the confidence in yourself when going on that first date or any sort of thing that comes with trepidation and feelings of anticipation because... You know, it's rough out here, so I would appreciate any and all words of wisdom. Thank you.
How does one find the confidence to go out on auditions as an actor?
Joe, why are you doing this to me? It's just about doing it.
Oh, it's just about doing it? That's why you do it?
Listen... To resonate with you, it takes a lot to get over your fears and to get over out of your head. But it really is about accepting the fact that you can experience rejection.
Oh, you accepted it?
No, I haven't. That's why I haven't done it yet. But it is about getting to that point.
How do you get to that point?
You gotta just do it.
How?
You gotta audition for Ellen Stardust Diner.
How?
You gotta apply.
How?
You gotta send in your application.
When?
You gotta just do it next week.
Why next week?
You gotta just gotta make a call.
When? What call are you making?
I'm like, call Ellen. What about Joe? What about on dates?
I think in general, the key, I've said this before, but I think the most important thing, actually, I have another thought that I've been actually mulling over recently in a different context, but I think the key to confidence, or at least the key to faking confidence, because it's literally all fake, like mm-hmm. everyone's confidence is made up, and that's like clue number one to this is like fake it till you make it. But I think you have to have a strong sense of self before you put yourself out there. in order to not let the rejection or not let the embarrassment, like, literally take you out. And I think that, like, with that, I mean, like, the only emotions and the only situations you can control are, like, within yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, even in situations that involve you, like, no one else's thoughts, opinions, or actions say anything about you. Like, genuinely, like, nothing someone else does, even to you, is about you. Mm-hmm. It's about them. Like, that's, and that's because we're all selfish. We all operate that way. Like, anything that I'm doing is, no matter what, ultimately for me. Whether I'm doing something selflessly because I'm trying to, like, make someone feel a certain way, it still comes back to me. Mm-hmm. So in auditions, on first dates, anything you're doing, like, if you put yourself out there, like, the worst case is that the person who is receiving your energy doesn't give you their energy back. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with you, though. Yeah. If they're like, you're bad, no, you're not. Yeah. Like, it's their perception of you, and that's literally their right. Like, it's kind of like, who fucking cares? Like, yeah. The point is, like, the more you do those things, the more you remind yourself, like, oh, just because one person, like, words and rejection actually can't hurt you. Yeah. Like, it literally can't hurt you if you keep doing it. Like, yeah. The only thing that can hurt you, the only thing that can stop you is literally you. Yeah. The decision you make to not do the thing, the decision you make to skip the date or cancel the audition. Like, yeah. It's only you. Like,
they are very, very similar.
Yeah.
Like, the date and the audition of it all. It really is, like...
Which is also an alarm. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Because it is, they're not really that similar.
They're not that similar, but it is... The similarity there is showing up as yourself.
Yes.
And, like, that is, like, once you can do that in both situations, then you will be fine.
Because you don't lose anything when you show up as yourself. You only lose something when you show up as someone else.
Yeah.
And you're hoping everyone believes you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. Like, you need, like, truly... I think more and more lately I've been showing up as myself in situations and realizing how little it affects. Like, things that would have affected me 6 months ago don't affect me as much now because I'm like, well, I felt like I was playing a game of, like, tricking people into thinking I was someone who I wasn't. And, like, realizing now that I'm just trying to show up as much as myself as possible. I'm like, you not liking me means you don't like me and not the character I'm trying to get you to like.
Yeah.
And if you don't like me, I actually don't care. It actually means less to me than if you don't like the fake version of me that I've created. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
It's kind of freeing.
It is.
And just like that,
it's over.
It's over.
Easter's over.
Easter's over.
We're dead again.
Christ has gone back to sleep. And so have we. And if you're in Boston, this is your last shot for our late show coming up very shortly on April 27th, link in bio.
And I feel like we'll have a few more announcements soon.
The announcement's going to be Joe has peacefully passed away in his sleep. But aside from that, you know exactly where to find us across all platforms at Good Children Pod. I'm on Instagram at Joe Hedges.
I'm on Instagram at Andrew Muscarella.
And don't forget to do your homework.
Like, comment, subscribe, rate, review. Write a little something sweet.
A little something sweet.
We'd like a little something sweet. And you guys, don't forget, we got Patreon. And now we're going live.
Live on Patreon.
Live on Patreon. You can ask us any question that you want. We're interacting with you. We want to have fun.
Yeah.
Seven buckaroonies.
It's
honestly
a lot of fun. It's a chance to actually connect with people. Yeah, like, I forgot how much I enjoy that.
I agree.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Easter.
Hippity hop. Jesus is dead. Now he is not. We're on to something. That's not bad.